Good day, and welcome to Good Heavens with Ryan Evans, your monthly minimum requirement for astrological observation and edification. Welcome to your new Pisces moon, exact March 10th, 2024, at 4 a.m. here in beautiful Viroqua, Wisconsin. New moons are times of setting intention. They are beginnings. We start things at new moons. The new moon is synonymous with the winter solstice. Anyone here ever make a New Year's resolution? Yes, you do it every year. Yes, we have a Gregorian calendar that suggests we do this intention setting on January 1st because it's congruent with a made-up calendar. But if we consider the most ancient calendar on this planet, the cycle of the seasons, then we can ascertain that winter solstice is the beginning. The sun dies there at the end of Sagittarius season. And for 3 days, the sun is apparently the lowest it will get in the sky. It's not moving. It's at the bottom. There it is in the darkness. But then magic happens. The sun is reborn. We spell it S-U-N. Winter solstice, end of December, the rebirth of the sun. And so at this time of the rebirth of the sun, we set intentions for our year. Oh, I'm going to work out this year. Oh, I'm not ever going to be angry. Road rage, that's a thing of the past, we say to ourselves. Do we stay with it? Well, we check back on it, you know, time and time again. It comes to Aquarius season, and we say, how am I doing with that intention? Is there anything I need to change about myself or my habits or my patterns and in order to stay more in alignment with that intention? That's what happens in Aquarius season. And then we get to Pisces season, where we are now. And while I'll talk a whole lot more about this in the coming minutes, then we get to Pisces season, and we're like, wow, I'm about to break out of the soil. It's about to be spring. I'm about to take action on all sorts of stuff, like my intentions that I set back at winter solstice. And so in Pisces season, we imagine, we dream of what's possible. If you imagine a little seedling underneath the soil surface, full of hope and potential and possibility. Oh, I wonder what it's going to be like out there in the real world. There's the feeling of Pisces. So we check back in with our original intention and make sure that our actions are in alignment with our imagination, with our dreams, with our visions, with our hopes, with the possibility and potential of the future. We come to Aries season, and that little seedling breaks out of the soil surface. Hooray, I'm alive, I exist. Well, I've been alive since I've germinated, but I'm out into the world of the manifest. Hooray! And there are hungry deer that want to eat me. And that beautiful warm sun can also scorch me. And the wind, the fresh air is so delicious and lovely, especially after being in the earth for so long. I love the fresh air, but it's also that wind that wants to blow us over. So we are tested in Aries season in order to make sure that we are in alignment with our original intention. And so that original intention at winter solstice, That's something that we hearken back to each year or each month. Well, let's keep going. Then what happens? Aries season. All right. Can I make the appropriate actions? Can I fight the right fight to stay in alignment with my core original intention? And maybe, you know, as a farmer, I am at the end of December, I am synthesizing all of the experience from last year's garden, synthesizing that into wisdom. And then at Capricorn season, at winter solstice there, I, as a farmer, am making an intention. I have a vision of what I want to see now the next year. Oh, I'm not going to plant so many zinnias. Oh, I'm going to actually find a way to sell all of that willow. Oh, I'm going to take my lilacs to this place. Based on the experience that I had in the past, we call that wisdom. And so we apply our wisdom to our year at the winter solstice. And then every month, every new moon, we are tested to make sure we're in alignment with that original vision. And Aries, the big test, the first really big test, can we stay in alignment with our original intention even if we are acted upon by external force? That's a great question. And that's the question of Aries season. And if we can make it through, if we can find our strength, if we can find our power, if we can maintain alignment with our original intention, then we find some strength. Then we find some solidity, like the little seedling that has established solid roots prior to its emergence and then emerges into the world. That little seedling's got to fight its way up towards the sun, Aries season, but then it's putting out its true leaves and its stem is getting stronger. Its roots are going deeper into the ground and are able to absorb more moisture, absorb more nutrients. And so rapid cell division, rapid growth. We're again unfurling our leaves to the sun, and we're feeling solid and we're feeling strong. Welcome to Taurus season. All right, I've got my seed. I'm planting my seed. I've got my wood. I'm building my house. I've got my wrench. I'm fixing my brakes. Why? Because I'm worth it. These are the things we do in Taurus season. We plant the crop. We might even, if we're really smart and crafty, we're harvesting some like chickweed, maybe some watercress. If we've really innovated, like we started lettuce back in Aquarius season and in the time of innovation, we might be harvesting the first greens. Taurus, yummy. Ah, peace, Taurus. So we check in and make sure that we're maintaining the reality of our original intention set back at winter solstice. Then we come to Gemini season, and it's like, okay, wow, what else is out there? It's like the plant is starting to put out its first flowers. And imagine it's a poly-headed sunflower. And so the first little sunflowers are coming out. We need bees to pollinate us. We need to have this connection with external input. And so Gemini, the season of asking questions, like the flower opens up and says, bees, can you please pollinate me? I need your help. And so in Gemini season, we're asking questions, we're doing the 10,000 things, we're finishing up a couple of things in the field, maybe we're starting to harvest some things. You know, we got our hand over here, we got our hand over here, and we're doing everything we can to promote and maintain our original intention set back at winter solstice, Gemini season. Then we come to Cancer season. It's like a full bloom. It's like a full moon. It's like the height, you know, midsummer. It's actually the beginning of summer, but what used to be called midsummer. We come to midsummer and it's like, ah, I can relax. I can chill. Theoretically, everything is planted. And we've done some initial cultivating. And so we see things in the garden. We can relax. We can feel like, okay, I've done it. My original intention back in Capricorn season at winter solstice was to plant only 300 feet of zinnias. And here in Cancer season, they've germinated. They're coming up. They're just beginning to flower. We can say, ah. Our intention has come into a manifestation that is noticeable and obvious. Like the sunflower has come into full bloom. And in this place of full bloom, in the height of summer, there's also this corresponding sadness. Because now the sun is starting to go down in declination. The days now start to get shorter. And while we're in the height of summer and, oh yeah, the celebration and the healing, there's also the sweet sorrow of having to let it go. Like in full bloom, that polyheaded sunflower is also starting to set seed. And it's reached its maximum extension into the world of the manifest. So at Cancer season, we connect with our heart. At summer solstice, we connect with our heart and say, are we in alignment with the truth of our intention? Are we who we have intended to be? If so, great. We have all of this energy and we spread it around like love and healing and nurturing. We nurture our garden at this time. We cultivate. We pull out the weeds. We water appropriately. If we need to apply fertilizer, we're taking care of our plants. We're taking care of the garden. That's what we do in Cancer season. And that's where all astrological archetypology comes. The garden. Yes, it's true. You are listening to an astrologer who wants nothing to do with made-up pictures in the sky. A couple of fishes swimming around because some ancient Greeks drinking mushroom tea saw a picture of it in the sky when it just so happened to be congruent with the seasons? Ptolemy, back in 2nd century AD, said, wait a second, there's a what we call a procession of the equinoxes here. All these stars are kind of moving backwards. And man, in 2,000 years, they are going to be messed up thinking that these pictures in the sky are the truth. It's not true. They move. The zodiac? The band of stars? Error. It moves over 28,000 years, you know, a couple thousand years. Aries isn't going to exist. Sagittarius is already on its way out. Pisces, nope, here comes Cetus the whale. That does not belong in the archetypology of the truth. And the truth is the seasons of the earth. That's real. Now, weather modification programs notwithstanding, the seasons are the seasons, and winter solstice is always going to be winter solstice. Spring equinox is always going to be spring equinox. Those don't change, and if they did, we would be in big, big, big trouble. That's something real. That's something solid. That's something predictable and obvious. That's where the power of astrology lives. In the seasons, heaven is under our feet as well as over our heads, said Thoreau. So to think that there's all this power up in the stars from magic beams from stars billions of light years apart, but they're supposed to mean the same thing. Yeah, that's what gives astrology a bad rap. Because there's nothing solid to hold on to other than the imagination that there's some magic beams coming from these clusters of stars. How can you hold on to that? How can you call that real? That shifts over thousands of years. That wobbles. Aries means Aries now, but in 5,000 years it's not. But in 27,000 years it'll be back, and then it'll mean something. No, it doesn't make sense. You know what makes sense? The blooming of a flower. The cycle and the rhythm of the seasons. The ebb and flow of nature. That I can see. That I can feel. That's real, and that's astrology. So in Cancer season, where we really get the archetypology of Cancer, not like, oh, it's something way up out there beyond the stars, and it's magic, and I can't explain it, but it's magic. No, 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 no. Cancer season says take care of your garden. Cancer season says, hey, here in the height of summer, you're going to experience a little sorrow because now the sun is on its way down. That's some real stuff. And that reality is from where we get all of the astrological archetypology. Because then we come to Leo season. And we celebrate. And we say, hooray, you're listening to WDRT Viroqua 91.9 FM. Hooray, it's Leo season. Yeah, the sun's going down. The sun is getting lower in the sky. The days are getting shorter. But you know what? The tomatoes are ripening. And the peppers are ripening. I'm harvesting lettuce and broccoli. There's carrots. Oh, my gosh. Look at all the zinnias and sunflowers. There's so much abundance. What can we do but have joy in the present moment? Because we know that after the party, we're going to have to clean up. And so right now in this moment, Leo season, we can say, wow, celebrate. Life exists. Yay, look at the beautiful abundance in the flower garden. Look at the beautiful abundance in the vegetable garden. Look at that corn is as high as a female troll's thigh. No, I mean, the corn is as high as an elephant's eye. Wow. Leo season. That's where we get the archetypes of Leo. Not some picture in the stars. Again, the picture in the stars thing, there's nothing solid to hold on to other than the ancient Greeks projecting meaning onto those stars. And that projected meaning came from, yep, you guessed it, their experience with the earth. Because after Leo season, what do we have to do? After the party, we've got to clean up. We've got Virgo season. So we celebrate. Yay! Time to fix stuff. Time to clean up. We come to Virgo season, and what do? We say, I want to stay alive this winter. No, this isn't a maiden holding a bundle of wheat in the sky. No, this is us on the earth needing to take care of our wheat. So we harvest the wheat and we winnow it and we thresh it, and this is work, and it's not like, oh God, oh geez, what am I going to do about my problems? No. This is Virgo season, and we do what we have to do because we have to do what we have to do. And if we want to survive in, say, Capricorn season, when it's, say, you know, freezing and there's nothing coming out of the garden, we want to take advantage of this time and take our beans and our beets and can them up. Is that easy? No, that takes work. That is the archetype of Virgo. Virgo and all of astrological archetypology has its roots, that's right, in the garden. Astrology percolates up from our seasonal motivated needs. What do we have to do in Virgo season? We have to can the beans and the beets so we can survive in Capricorn season. We have to save our seed, Virgo season, so that we can plant it in Taurus season. You now know about the grand earth trine. How Virgo and Capricorn and Taurus all get along really well because Virgo harvests the seeds and the food so that Capricorn can survive in winter and we have something to plant for next year in Taurus. It's beautiful. That's why astrology is misnamed. Astrology is really seasonal archetypology, the title of my forthcoming book. Astrology, the study of the stars. I know, let's disempower humans. Let's take power away from them. Let's take power away from the average person. And Lord knows we can take power away from the sacred feminine by taking all of this astrological archetypology and projecting it onto the stars. Yeah, there's this magic beam from a lady holding wheat. Yeah, from this star cluster out there. And that's where... No, what a lie. Making astrology have its power in the stars was the disempowerment of the earth. So, kids and campers, if you are at all interested in taking your power back, plant seeds. Be a farmer, be a gardener. Get in connection with the earth. Feel the rhythm of the natural processes, because in that is the story, in that is the magic, in that is the beauty, and in that is reality. Wow, we can combine imagination and spirit and reality and functionality. Whoa, how do we do that? It's called grow a flower and make it into a poem. And that's what astrology is. So in Virgo season, we harvest our stuff. We take care of our stuff. What are we going to do? Sit and whine? Yeah, it's called the shadow of Virgo. Guilt and shame. Oh gosh, I didn't plant enough beans. Oh, I planted the wrong variety of broccoli. Now it's bolting. I suck. No, you're living and learning, you human. And that's what we do in Virgo season. And after Virgo season, provided, you know, we've harvested our crop and we've got enough seed for next year, you know what we can do? We can relax. Welcome to Libra season. And in Libra season, the sun returns to its dark hemicycle, where there is more dark today. And we have to make peace with that. We have to accept that. We have to merge those polarities in Libra. And anything outside of ourselves, we have no control over. We have no control over the fact that the sun is going down. We have no control over the fact that autumn is here. All we can do is accept that. And that takes a mental realization. That takes an act of consciousness. Cardinal air, Libra. We make peace with the world. And if we're really good, maybe we've got some extra tomatoes. And maybe we didn't grow enough onions. And so we go to our neighbor and say, "Hey, Ralph, I'll trade you some tomatoes for some onions." And Ralph's like, "Sweet, I didn't grow enough tomatoes." And we make this awesome deal. Where I give him my tomatoes, he gives me his onions. Now I can go make salsa. And you know what? Ralph can make salsa. And so we blended our energies. We made a good deal. We made an agreement. We helped each other out. And now we both have salsa. Healthy Libra. But then we come to Scorpio season, the second to last season. The second to last sign of the zodiac, if you want to use that vernacular. We come to Scorpio season, guess what happens? Death. The death of the garden. No more tomatoes, no more zinnias, maybe a straggler sunflower, broccoli and kale. I mean, that'll live all winter, you know, done right. Spinach will live all winter, done right. But the tomatoes, dead. The peppers, dead. Sunflower, dead. And we have a choice now in Scorpio season. Are we going to celebrate what we do have? Are we going to celebrate what we have harvested, all the work that we did do? In fact, if we did do all of our work, then we've actually got some riches. It's called a stocked pantry. And we can kind of revel in those riches. In fact, if we think about it, there's incredible power in a well-stocked larder. And so, another Thoreau quote, every man looks at his woodpile with a kind of affection. And so this affection that we have for our woodpile, that affection that we have for our larder, there's that passionate engagement. Oh, I could not live without my stocked larder. There's power in that. And there's Scorpio. The power of the earth contained in a jar. It's called a can of beets. There's power. There's magic. That's alchemy right there. I took this little seed and with the help of the earth and water and sun, magically transformed that seed into a beet. And that beet is going to feed me over the winter. Whoa, that's powerful, and that's Scorpio. And if we've done Scorpio right, we are celebrating life as opposed to fearing death, because we're going into winter, and anything can happen. And before electricity and central air, central heat, it's sometimes a little risky going into winter. More people die in winter. So Scorpio season, we have this little fear about the impending darkness that we're going into. But if we make peace with that, then we celebrate life. Then we know that every moment is sacred. And that's the truth of Scorpio season. Where did that come from? Not some made-up picture in the sky, but from humans' historical engagement with planet Earth at that time. And there's meaning in that. It's called seasonal archetypology, previously known as astrology. And so let's say that we've mastered death. We've conquered our fear of death. All right, everything does die, everything does change, and in the meantime, I'm going to live deeply and suck out all the marrow of life. And if we can live passionately like that, then we come to the last season, Sagittarius season, where we transmute everything that we experienced since Capricorn season, everything we've experienced over the wheel of the year, and synthesize it into wisdom. All of our life experience, 12 lives, our life as Capricorn, our life as Aquarius, our life as Pisces. And we come to Sagittarius season and we say, all right, what does it all mean? And if we did all of those preceding seasons consciously, like just coming from Cancer season, we've felt everything we've needed to feel about life. We've healed our darkness and are engaged fully in life. We have enmeshed ourselves fully in life. And so then we celebrate the glory of life in Leo season. We celebrate the garden. We celebrate the abundance. And then we make use of that in Virgo season. We cash in our chips. We lay up our stores. And then we make our appropriate sharings in Libra season. And we relax and we find peace and balance because we know we're going into winter season. That's scary. And we go into the fear. In Scorpio season, we engage our mortality there in Scorpio season. If we master our fear of death, then we can take that to the next, more transcendent level of understanding and comprehending the big picture beyond. There's Sagittarius. It's like the formation. It's like the gathering of experience, forming that into an embryo of intention, the way a seed forms into its embryo. And as that embryo of possibility and potential and hope for the future solidifies, we move then into Capricorn season and we say, once again, this is my intention. This is my seed. This is what I want my next year to be based on everything that I've learned the previous year. We synthesize Sagittarius experience into wisdom that Capricorn then acts on. The seed is planted. The intention is set. That is the winter solstice, and that is the beginning of the next season. That's Capricorn. Winter solstice is 100% synonymous with the new moon. And so that whole cycle that I just described of the year, the whole growing season, the whole planning of what we want our garden to look like, and are we going to need some more soil, and are we going to need some fertilizer, and where do I order seed, and all of that, that starts at the end of December for just about any farmer. Then we build on that intention and it comes into full bloom and then recedes and we make a conscious understanding of it and we start that cycle again. That happens every year. Guess what? That also happens every month. The lunar phase cycle is completely and totally synonymous with the cycle of the seasons. So the moon moves through these seasons. But what's so cool is that the moon can do a new moon in any season. The new moon of the year is always winter solstice, is always Capricorn season. But every month, we get a new opportunity to make sure that we are in alignment with our original intention, and B, set an intention specific for that time in our life, what we need to do right now, this month, in order to stay in alignment with our original intention, in order to be happy. And if we are not, we can't consider our original intention, all we can focus on is the present moment. Boom, that's what we want this new moon to be, every new moon to be, as a time to start again, a time to set a new intention, regardless of where we're at, regardless of who we are, regardless of what situations we've experienced, regardless if we just suffered loss or pain or hell or death, we're here right now. And every new moon is an opportunity to have another winter solstice, to have another new year, to have another new beginning, where the month, where the year equals the month. And so every new moon, we set a new intention. And if we're doing it wisely, that intention has a part or echoes whatever our original intention was at the beginning of the year. And quite often, it's to be happy, it's to be healthy, it's to be more abundant. I mean, that's 90% of the intentions out there. And it all comes down to, I mean, let's face it, we say we want more money, we want a happy relationship, we want a new car, we want our kids to quit yelling at us. You know what? All we want is to be happy. It's what it all comes down to. I must have a brand new necklace. I must have my first ever pair of new shoes. Whatever it is, it equates to happiness. Or survival. Will I survive and will I be happy? Can I survive? Can I be happy? Can I exist? And if I exist, I would rather exist happy than just exist as an automaton. And so every new moon, we come to a point where, all right, what do I need for my happiness? I mean, yes, again, we can say, what do I need for my health? What do I need for relationship? What do I need for my neighbor? What do I need for Ukraine or Palestine or Israel or Turkey or Saskatchewan? And all of that comes down to, I need to be happy. And so therefore, I can only change the things that I can change. I can call my senator, I can call my president, but I have about as much faith in that as I do feeling like I could digest this computer were I to eat it. That's just me. And so what's important in these new moon times is that we check in with ourselves, that we are selfish, meaning we give ourselves what we need, we take care of ourselves how we need to, we nurture the garden that is ourself, and as we take care of that, then we can give to other people. One of the worst things we can do, and I'm talking as an empath here, one of the worst things we can do is give ourselves away, and then give ourselves away. Hey, would you like a drink of water? Here you go. Here's a full cup of water. All right, I've got a full cup of water. Here, have some. And then we get it back, and there's nothing left for us. And we're like, I was thirsty. Oh, but I did a good deed, but I'm slowly withering away. How is that going to help anybody? No, the idea is that we drink what we need to drink, and we fill ourselves full so that we can have the strength to reach out our arms and pass the cup over to another person. And so each new moon, we want to be selfish. Yes, I am talking about healthy selfishness. And so healthy selfishness says, here is my garden. I need to take care of my garden. And so at each season, there is a suggestion that we do based on the cycle and the rhythm of our gardening that is 100% synonymous with what we need to do astrologically, what we need to do emotionally, what we need to do spiritually. And here we have, on March 10th, we have a new moon in Pisces season. So let's go back to Pisces season. But before that, let's remember that we are listening to 91.9 FM WDRT Viroqua. And so in Pisces season, we imagine that seedling, that seed that germinated back in Capricorn season and has found its way, it's found its own path, has modified and innovated, reinvented itself maybe through Aquarius season. And now that little seedling is right under the soil surface, imagining what's possible, imagining the potential, and having that fuel us, having that fill us, where we are enthused. enthused, enthos, from the Greek, to be filled with God. Enthusiasm. Pisces season, where we are to tap into our imagination and allow the possibility and the potential to motivate us to break through the soil surface. Because it's scary, because we don't know what's on the other side. And one of the shadows of Pisces season is having an illusion about what's on the other side. Oh, the little pitter-pattering of feet. It's children that want to play with me, when in all actuality, it's the deer and the rabbits that want to devour us. So Pisces season is very, very risky. We can have illusions. We can have delusions. We can be hyper-confident. Oh, it's going to be great. Oh, it's all good. Yeah, and raise your hand if somebody saying, oh, it's all good, is something that is starting to aggravate you a little. Because, let's face it, it's not all good. There's war in the world. There's starvation. There's poverty. People are suffering. People are mean out there. It is definitely not all good. Or is it? And so this little war, if you will, between the illusion of it being all good and the intention of it being all good. Welcome to Pisces season, where it is technically healthier to imagine the best of all possible worlds as opposed to the worst of all possible worlds. Oh, well, someone might say, if you imagine the worst of all possible worlds, at least you'll be prepared. Yeah, you'll be living in a Kevlar-coated house with, just etc. And you'll be prepared for anything, but are you having any fun? Are you having any joy? Are you able to let anybody in? Are you able to celebrate life? Because that's what it's about. The seedling will sprout out of the soil, and if it is well protected and well defended, and maybe that seedling has a thorn and can protect itself from the deer, hey, we want that Pisces fuel of possibility and potential and imagination to fill us and give us the strength to break through into the actualization of our intentions. So with this Pisces new moon, do everything you possibly can to contact and connect with that part of you that dreams, that imagines, that has hope, that can imagine the best of all possible worlds. But we also don't take a Pollyanna kind of view of it and think that that's reality. Because it might not be. We can say, all right, I can imagine my life becoming this beautiful thing where I publish my book and I'm going on book tours and I'm filling arenas full of people who really want to hear all about the BS of star-based astrology. I can imagine that. And having that imagination, that's going to fuel my action. But is it real? No, the book isn't published. Is it real? Nope, I don't have arenas filled with people listening to seasonal archetypology. Is it real? I don't know. Could it be real? Yeah, it could be real. But is it? No. But that being said, since I have the vision, since I have the inspiration, I know how to tune my perceptive focus towards the stimuli that will support and lead me to that place. On my screen will be the possibility and potential of my life. I'm like holding my hand out here in front of my face. and I'm looking at it. And then I can compare and contrast that dream with choices in reality. And I can make choices that are more resonant with that dream, thusly, theoretically, giving that dream a greater possibility and potential of coming into manifestation. The same goes if I'm saying, like, on my screen is darkness and death, and it all sucks, and nothing's ever going to happen. Then I'm not going to be able to really pay attention to those omens, those opportunities, those synchronicities that come my way, because I'm not looking for them, see? On my screen is the illusion of pain or darkness or hell. And let's face it, that illusion of pain and darkness and hell is just as real and just as unreal as the dream and the possibility of the future. They're both illusions. And wise Pisces season knows that. And so therefore we enter into this next month. We enter into this next month with hopes and dreams that are not real, and fears and terrors that are not real. And so we're being given a choice as to what we want our reality to become. And our reality becomes closer to our vision than not, if we choose to take actions, make choices resonant with and applicable to our intention. So the idea, kids and campers, is to check in with yourself and say, what's your wildest dreams? What's your happiest life? What's your greatest vision of what's possible in your existence? Imagine that. And admit that it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. But gosh golly gee darn it, we have the ability to make actions, to take actions, to make choices that are congruent with that vision. And so if we have the vision, we have the inspiration, and we take action, then there's a really good chance that our best of all possible worlds will come to fruition. And if we don't, then there's a really great chance that it won't. So, with this new moon, yes, I'm asking you to use your imagination. I'm asking you to trust your imagination, trust your intuition, and at the same time, don't trust it. Admit and understand that it is just imagination, and that it's our job as humans to take imagination out of that realm and bring it into reality. That's our job. That is why, from one perspective, humans were created. According to George Carlin, you know why we humans were created? Because God wanted to see plastic. He couldn't figure that out. Plastic. I don't get it. I mean, I can make plants. I can make flowers. I can even make oil. But plastic? I just don't have that figured out. I need humans. But you know what? Honestly, plastic first appeared in somebody's imagination. Wow, what happens if I heat up these petrochemicals and add a little something and stretch it out and, wow, look at that polychain. Wow, look at, hey, I got some plastic. It starts in imagination. All of your action, all of my action begins in imagination. So, with this new moon, please contact and connect with your imagination. If you are a Capricorn, then it is your job with this new moon to set an intention of opening up to things that you do not know. There are things that you do not know, Capricorn. And so we get to open up to the magic and the mystery and the wonder and the possibility and potential for that next level, that next layer of information to befall us. We have to create space for that. And if you're a Capricorn, your job astrologically is to set an intention for opening up to the universe to receive the next clue, omen, or synchronicity that's going to point you in the direction of manifesting your dreams. That's the way it goes. If you are an Aquarius, you are in your power for the next 20 years here, Aquarius. Please use that wisely. And in order for you to use that wisely, this is a month to use your imagination, to use your hope, your possibility, your enthusiasm, to use all of this energy in the context of building up your resources, building up your self-worth. I can imagine myself getting stronger, you might say. So have the imagination of yourself being strong, or yourself being rich, or yourself being happy, or whatever happiness means to you. Have that imagination and then take the action on it. Yes, that's true for everyone, but if you are Aquarian or have Aquarius rising, then this is a month where you get to prove to yourself that you have the ability to bring into manifestation that which you dream. Wow, if you are a Pisces, then or a Pisces rising, this is a month to set an intention where your choices matter, where your choices are important, where you have within you the power to choose, and through those choices, your life unfolds perfectly. Your life becomes exactly what you want it to be. You are the dreamer. This new moon, this is your month. This is your time. This is your season. So if one advances confidently in the direction of their dreams, they will meet with a success uncommon in waking hours. That's your job. If you are an Aries, my suggestion is to wait, to not act, to allow yourself to dream, to allow yourself to imagine. Go to the mountaintop, go to the beach, go into the woods, go into your sacred place, go into your church, your cathedral, and turn your thumbs away from each other. Open up your palms and say, okay, God, fill me full of light. That's your job, Aries. I know you want to act. I know you want to do. I know you want to get going. I know you want to get moving. That's coming here pretty darn soon. But for right now, or if you hear this, you know, on the 9th or 10th, to have at least a week of reflection, of listening, allowing, releasing, because next month you're going to be working your butt off. Okay, you got that? All right, if you're a Taurus or a Taurus rising, then this is the year to imagine your future, not just the next month. I'm talking about years hence. This is a month to imagine what trees you want to plant, not just sunflowers for the pretty garden. I'm talking about long-term sustainability. So if you're a Taurus or Taurus rising, your best of all possible worlds with this new moon is to imagine and allow yourself to be enthused by your vision of the future and where you want to take your energy exponentially into the future. So very important. If you are a Gemini or Gemini rising, your chances are, I mean, astrologically speaking, like I really know, I'm just reading symbols on my computer screen. But if you're a Gemini or Gemini rising, then this is a new moon to imagine, to be enthused about what gifts you have to bring to the world. What are you sharing with the rest of us? Are you inspiring us? Are you teaching us? Are you sharing the right information with us? That we want it. We need it. Please give it to us. If you are a Cancer or a Cancer rising, this is a month to set the intention for expanding your mind, expanding your horizons, expanding your vision. We call this engaging in life experience. Sometimes we go to college or we go on a large trip across water. We ask big, deep questions. We go to the priest, the minister, and say, "What's the meaning of life?" We try to have a conversation with spirit. That's what this month is for, Cancer or Cancer rising. If you're a Leo or Leo rising, guess what? This is a month for setting an intention for healing the crap, for letting go and allowing and releasing the old junk. If you're a Leo or a Leo rising, this is the month to forgive all of their trespasses and ask for forgiveness if you have trespassed. Oh, this is my darkness. Oh, this is my hell. Oh, this is my pain. Oh, these are my bad habits. Ah, how can I purge myself of these? I know. Forgive, allow, and release. Go for it, Leo. It's very important. If you are a Virgo or Virgo rising, this is a month to set an intention of asking for help. Opening up to the gifts and the inspiration of others. Virgo, you are a professional at doing it yourself. You are a professional at whatever it is you're a professional at. This is a great time to ask, hey, I need a little help. Hey, I need a little inspiration. Hey, I need a little fuel. So you can't do it alone this month. You need to reach out and find some helpers. Please do that and all will be well. If you are a Libra or Libra rising, 100% get in touch with your body. Get in touch with your habits, your health regime, your cycle, your rhythm. This is the time to infuse more art, more spirit, more compassion, more self-love into the self-improvement project. So improve thyself by taking really good care of yourself and letting that care enthuse you. Doing something solid for the body, like yoga, can result in a mystical, transcendental, spiritual experience. Doing the dishes can be a mystical, transcendent experience. Do it. If you are a Scorpio, then I'm going to say it very simply, go have some fun. Scorpio, Scorpio rising, go be creative, go have fun. Sagittarius, Sagittarius rising, connect deeply with your heart. Put your hands on your heart, say, speak up, heart, and listen. Inspiration comes from that place. Well, that's what I know this month, kids and campers. Thanks for listening along. This has been a production of WDRT Studios in Viroqua, 91.9 FM. Thanks so much to Terry O'Connor for helping to produce this show. And tune in next month where we get pretty darn hardcore. Thanks for listening and be well.